Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on Wednesday morning. We really appreciate it. I will be your moderator. I'm Kim Arcolio from The Ohio State University, and I have to say I have no disclosures to reveal. excuse me, and forgive me, I have a horrible cold, so I'm hoping my voice will last. Our first presenter this morning is Tegan Callahan. She has her master's in public health, and she serves as the program manager for Women and Infant Health at the Association for Maternal and Child Health Programs. She played a lead role in AMCHP's effort to develop state-level life course metrics.
Thank you and good morning. So my presentation today is a project that is presenting on kind of the final output, the process and final output of a hugely collaborative project. So I'm here today, my name's Tegan Callahan, but we had many staff at AMCHIP as well as guidance from partners in the field, including Bill Sappenfield, and a lot of state-level public health leaders and stakeholders working on this project. So I kind of just want to say that up front. So the overall goals of my presentation today is to share the overview of the life course model that kind of informed this effort and this work and the relationship with social determinants of health, and then the process for the development of state maternal and child health life course measures, as well as review the final set, or at least a summary of that final set of indicators, and talk a little bit about project resources and address some frequently asked questions we've been getting. So just as a point of clarification, AMCHIP is the member organization for state Title V programs, and Title V is the federal block grant that every state receives to provide maternal and child health services. It goes to every state and territory in the U.S. and the District of Columbia. So that our role as the member association of Title V programs is to do, you know, half of the organization does policy work, and then the other half does capacity building work to make sure state level, state public health agencies have the capacity to address emerging issues in maternal and child health, one of which is life course. So just briefly, core ideas of life course, and I'm guessing this is going to be review for everyone, but I wanted to throw it in there, is that there are multiple determinants of health, so that all of these things converge across our life course trajectories and kind of create health, which is a somewhat new way of thinking about things, maybe not so much for maternal and child health, but for a lot of other pieces of public health, it's new to think about things outside of disease categories and disease conditions. And so life course is a way to weave this all together. And there's also a huge impact on the influence of time. So thinking about critical and sensitive periods and thinking about the trajectory of health across the life course. These are some of the core components. And this slowly builds, but basically this is one of the many models there is about life course from Paula Braveman. She put out in 2009, and it kind of shows the merging of social ecological model and the numerous influences that kind of get towards health. So it's not just personal behavior and medical care, but it's also conditions where we live and work and social and economic opportunities. Another way to look at life course, this is another of the core models, from Liu and Halfon, that really shows kind of the influence of protective factors as well as risk factors. And so one person's life course might have a lot more risk factors, and so they have, you know, poor health outcomes because of that, where other people might have risk factors that are similar but a lot more protective factors. So these are some of the models that kind of informed this work. But how do you put it all into practice? So a lot of state health departments are trying to take these theoretical models and say, okay, in an applied setting, what do we do about this? How do we align our programs and our work in relation to a life course model now? And a big step of that is, how do we measure it? So AMCHIP took on this project to develop tools to help state Title V MCH programs and their partners emphasize a life course health perspective throughout the assessment of risks, capacities, and services, the planning of programs, the monitoring and evaluation of outcomes, and the engaging and educating of partners. So these are the overall purpose of the metrics project. We weren't trying to create performance measures for health departments or for Title V programs to use to be accountable for those dollars, but it's much more, how do we do this work in a practice-based setting? So this was one of the quotes we got from one of our team members when kind of getting them to vision at the end of this project, when there's a final set of life course indicators, what's going to be that impact for the health of moms, kids, and families throughout your communities? And they said it will help state health departments come out of their silos, think outside of the box to better design programs and interventions that impact the life course trajectory. Just reemphasizes kind of everything I quickly ran through. So in terms of our process, we worked with a national expert panel with a lot of people who've done a lot of the theoretical thinking on Life Course to develop a framework to help get the state team started. It was a two-part project. So the first part was the national expert panel, and they informed this organizing framework, which helped get our project off the ground. So basically they said we need to think of indicators across these four categories to represent all the influences on Life Course. So indicators that demonstrate risk, outcomes, services, and capacity. Risk is the experiences and exposures that indicate future risk for Life Course outcomes. Outcomes are those outcomes that reflect or summarize an adverse Life Course trajectory. Services are risk reduction and health promotion from services provided to MCH populations over time. And then capacity was something they added in there because they really thought that both community and organizational capacity to address things in a Life Course perspective was really important, and that would be an important thing to measure. And then we basically created this very basic tool. So when you think about, well, how do we measure Life Course? What we told the state team partners we were working with is, let's start by trying to fill in these boxes. So we had these four organizing domains. We put it on a Life Course timeline, and we said, what currently accessible data is out there that can help us fill in these boxes? And just to reiterate that point, this is not about wish list measures. This is what do state health departments have now. And what is measurable across the majority of states in the U.S. So that's where we limited our data to. So we basically solicited both public as well as ideas from the teams we selected to work with. There were seven state teams working with us, and for ideas to fill in those boxes. And then we took those ideas and measured them against three data criteria and five Life Course criteria. And the data criteria are basically availability, or can the indicator be calculated by the majority of state and local public health agencies? Quality, which gets at the accuracy and reliability of the data, and then simplicity of both calculating and explaining the indicator. So these were kind of our data criteria, and they provided the first litmus test of if we would consider an indicator further. And then we also developed Life Course criteria, and this work was informed by the national expert panel and finalized by the state teams of practitioners from state health departments. But through this project, we kind of identified criteria of a good Life Course indicator to try and emphasize, well, you know, something might be a good indicator and meet data criteria, but is it actually address the core components of Life Course in a way? And those core components were defined as, does it have implications for equity, or how well does the indicator reflect equity-related measures such as social, psychosocial, and environmental conditions, poverty, disparities, and racism? What's the public health impact, or the impact of a positive change in the indicator due to a program or policy interventions, or the impact of no change in the indicator. The ability to leverage resources or realign, so how well does the indicator reflect program services and policies that expand beyond the traditional focus of MCH programs, as well as get at the intergenerational health piece of Life Course, which is improving the health and wellness of an individual and or that children. So how well does the indicator reflect the time and trajectory components of the Life Course theory, with an emphasis on indicators that address critical and transitional periods throughout life, and then consistent with the evidence base. So even though the evidence base for Life Course is emerging, we were hoping to have some sort of criteria around, is an indicator consistent with that overall evidence base and our scientific understanding of Life Course health as it evolves. So those were the criteria we used to measure proposals. We had over 400 proposed indicators submitted, I guess just over a year ago, and then we worked with state teams to do a first round of screening based on those indicators and narrowed it down to just over 100. And from that list of 100, we basically asked state teams to develop a narrative explaining each one of those criteria I ran through in detail. And once we had narratives written for 104 of those indicators, we brought them together again, and everyone had read through those indicator narratives, and we had a final voting and scoring process and resulted in the final set of 59. But also from that second meeting, we have a list of things that were considered but not brought forward. So we have that documented in terms of project process as well. So some of the overall challenges to the project is the availability of data at state and local levels. So there's a lot of things we wish we could measure that we just don't have good available public health data on, so it couldn't make it into the final set, as well as understanding and awareness and availability of non-traditional maternal and child health data. Data quality and simplicity, a lot of data issues were big challenges. as well as an overlap with other measures. So we wanted to make sure that the set wasn't overly burdensome. It was something that had some appeal beyond EPIs. 59 is still a lot, but within the set we tried to comb through and pick out things that would possibly be duplicative or keep things that were prevention measures but get rid of maybe some of the more sentinel mortality indicators that are more the final measure. We also wanted to, I guess building off that, we wanted to make sure we highlighted root causes of things. And then a big challenge is that research on a lot of this is in the early stages. So, you know, this set may evolve and be a living thing as we learn new things about life course health. So the final set is now available online. It's a tool that we've put on our AmChip website, so amchip.org. And this is just a few screenshots. You can sort through the final set. In three different ways. We kind of have thematic categories that have risen to the top, as well as you can sort through by data source and then the original domains, so risk, outcomes, services, and capacity. I just wanted to highlight that. And then we also are slowly putting up throughout this fall those indicator narratives. So they have been a long process. We have 59 of them to work through, but hopefully by the end of November, people will also have access to all of those as a resource when they try to use the indicators moving forward. And there's notes on calculation in there, as well as alignment with measures in similar data sets, which I believe, yes, is my next slide. So we were able to crosswalk within the set of life course indicators, where is this reflected in, or where does it overlap or reflect other big data sets for maternal and child health or public health. So, you know, 16 of these measures are also Title V performance measures. 8 of them are preconception health indicators. 36 of them reflect or overlap with healthy people objectives. 6 are CDC winnable battles. 14 of them are also reflected in the chronic disease indicator set. 9 of them are national quality forum measures. And then 6 of them reflect United Health ranking measures. And so this is another way to try and, you know, engage new partners in the idea of life course. Look, these measures that you might know of because you're in clinical systems delivery and look at national quality forum measures, they also address life course. So what are the entry points for some of our partners? This was another interesting way for us to look at new measures, so things that didn't have any overlap. So, you know, a lot of things overlapped with stuff we already look at a lot in maternal and child health programs, but we had measures that didn't have any overlap. And so these might not necessarily be new ideas in maternal and child health, but it was kind of, it's interesting for us to see these things are, you know, new measures or things we might have brought to the table in terms of expanding our thinking to address life course. What are some of those things? A concentrated disadvantage index, fluoridation as community health policy, looking at voter registration as social capital or the kind of data sets we have. So this is the list of those measures that didn't have any overlap. And then we also put together a few resources. We're slowly compiling national comparison data for all of the sets. So this helps our members at state maternal and child health EPI programs just run with their own calculations locally. But again, the national comparisons are there in the narratives for each indicator when they can be calculated. Sometimes it's not possible to do a national comparison. And then we also had the state teams at the very end of the process do a small nominal group kind of technique process to try and get out what are the most important. And this is a way to have a bigger entry point into the project for policymakers or people who might not be interested in a data book of 59 indicators. But what is a short list that people can just break off and run with if they don't have capacity to calculate 59 or if they're not going to be interested, like I said, in a huge data book? And so our 13 shortlist indicators are adverse childhood experiences among children, race-based discrimination among pregnant women, experiences of discrimination among children, households with a high level of concentrated disadvantage, children living in households where smoking occurs inside the home, children or adults who are currently overweight or obese, depression among youth, household food insecurity, preterm birth, stressors during pregnancy, incarceration rate, children who receive services in a medical home, and fourth grade proficiency scores for math and reading. So this is in some ways it's an executive summary, but in some ways it really is just what rose to the top and what can be an entry point for partners. So The full set I uploaded as a handout for this session, and you can also find it online. I wasn't going to go through 59 indicators in my presentation, but hopefully these give you a glimpse of some of the types of things in the set. So these are some frequently asked questions, and maybe we can come back to this during our question-answer period, but we've gotten some questions around, you know, where's infant mortality in this set? That's like such a sentinel mortality indicator, and we use it so much in maternal and child health, or where's maternal mortality? And we have a lengthy response on our frequently asked questions handout online, but in summary, the teams basically decided to try and include prevention measures, some of the upstream causes in the set, instead of including a mortality measure for infant mortality. And for maternal mortality, we had interesting discussion around how some states are really actively involving and ramping up maternal mortality reviews, and so they're looking for maternal deaths more, whereas other states might not be doing that. And so is that really standard and equal across states? And so gives you a glimpse into the type of discussion we had with the state stakeholders. And both those two, especially infant mortality, I mean, they had to talk through it for a long time and voted on it three separate times to finally be okay with not having it be in the final set. So, I mean, I think it's also a sign of how the project is pushing us to think beyond what we're comfortable with in maternal and child health as well. Why isn't low birth weight included is another frequently asked question. Well, instead, you'll see preterm birth and small for gestational age, which break it down further and hopefully get more kind of at the issues. I addressed a little bit about what capacity indicators mean in the set, and there's a few data systems capacity indicators that came out of the process, and it's really, do we have the data to look at life course health? I mean, capacity is about whether or not we are ready to address things from a life course perspective, so data capacity as well as some of the social capital indicators kind of fall in that bucket. And a big disappointment for me is the fact that a lot of these indicators really don't express much about resiliency or empowerment, but it's kind of a sign of what we don't have currently in public health in terms of our data systems. And so in terms of advocacy on what could be next, some of that considered but not selected because of data quality issues, or just that lack of, we don't have a lot of good resiliency measures in public health, even though life course is so much about resiliency factors. So that was an interesting, I think, challenge with an applied project. And then, again, these are not performance measures, so no targets are associated with these measures. All right. So, again, the website for all the resources and the final set is amchip.org, Life Course Indicators. But it's also been uploaded as a part of this presentation as well.